This episode was first posted October 29th, 2007.
This is Movies for the Blind, Episode 1, Ask Dad.
You're disconcertingly practical at times.
Hello, and welcome to a brand new podcast called Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without all that hassle of looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. Now, since this is the very first episode, yikes, exciting, I'm going to give you a little bit of history here. Now, for 7 years, my day job was producing something called described video, or audio description. It's a separate audio track that runs on another channel for a movie or a TV show, which explains to vision-impaired people what's going on while it's going on. It's kind of hard to explain right off, but hopefully it'll make a bit more sense when you hear it in action in a few minutes. So when I was stuck with answering the question, so what do you do for a living? I remembered one of my favorite albums by Queens of the Stone Age, which is called Songs for the Deaf. So I decided to say I make movies for the blind. It seemed a bit more clear. Kind of. And while people may have all sorts of different levels of vision impairment, which is, you know, why we say vision impaired, when we listen to an audio podcast, we're all essentially blind, right? We're relying on our ears and our theater of the mind. Sometimes that's what makes podcasts so incredibly cool, or the blanks you fill in with your imagination. So I hope that you'll enjoy these public domain movies like an audiobook. If you'd like more information on described video, you can check the articles on Wikipedia for audio description or the descriptive video service. Those are the guys who kind of invented this a while back. Also, I demonstrated the process of description on one episode of my other podcast. It's called Description Valerie in Toronto, and you can find that at descriptiontoronto, all one word, .com. And if you don't mind the casual profanity I often use on that show, you can listen to episode 27. Don't worry, there'll be links on the blog for this podcast. Okay, enough of all the preliminaries. Let's get down to listening to a movie. As a bit of an introduction, I'm going to start with a short film, which is a little more than 20 minutes long. Of course, these were common back in the day leading up to the feature presentation, right? And this one is way back in the day, namely 1929. Yeah, 1929. It's a comedy that stars Edward Everett Horton. People of my generation may recognize that name. He's known best as the narrator of Fractured Fairy Tales on the Rocky and Bullwinkle show. Remember those? But before that, he was a very busy movie actor who usually played sidekicks or prissy intellectual supporting roles. But this time, he is the star. From 1929, this is Ask Dad.
Ask Dad by Joseph A. Jackson, a coronet talking comedy, supervised by Sidney B. Brenica, directed by Hugh Falcon, photographed by William Heyer, sound by Lodge Cunningham. The players: Dad, Edward Everett Horton; Tommy, his son, Winston Miller; Miss Grace Wilson, his secretary, Ruth Rennick. Educational Pictures, the spice of the program. In a large, well-appointed office, a pretty woman picks up a document from a desk and takes it to a smaller desk, where she sits at a typewriter. As she starts typing, a young man steps in behind her.
Oh, good afternoon, Miss Wilson.
Well, good afternoon.
Isn't Dad here?
Your father's in conference, Tommy.
Oh. May I come in?
Well, aren't you in?
Oh, yes.
He walks around her desk, glancing at another door. Then he turns back to her uncertainly.
Are you alone?
Not now.
Straightening his tie, Tommy tries to say something.
I'd like to...
Miss Wilson notices.
What's on your mind today, Tommy?
Well, there's an important question I want to ask you, Miss Wilson. It's a question of vital importance, which you alone can answer.
Why, Tommy, what can it be?
Well, do you think... No. Would it be possible... Oh, may I call you Grace, Miss Wilson?
Why, certainly, if you like.
Oh, thank you, Grace.
He looks off dreamily with his hands in his pockets. Miss Wilson stands with the document she's been typing.
Tommy, will you take this general order to Miss Ryan in the mimeographing department and ask her to make 20 copies, 15 of which are to be delivered to Mr. McCarthy in the shipping room, and the other 5 to Mr. Jones in the accounting office. All are to be posted in conspicuous places on the bulletin boards.
All right, I'll do it.
Holding the order, he steps to the main office door, turning back briefly before he leaves. As Miss Wilson returns to her desk and sits down, a man strides in through the other door.
Miss Wilson.
Yes?
Take a letter.
Yes, sir.
And when I say letter, I mean letter.
He gestures with the pince-nez glasses which hang from his neck.
Wells and Hawks, comma, 809 State Street, comma, Chicago, comma, Illinois, period, semicolon. Gentlemen. No, scratch that out. Don't call them gentlemen. There isn't a gentleman in their whole organization. Call them liars, call them cheats, call them cutthroats, call them anything you like. Your shipment arrived today, and for inefficiency, for slipshod methods, for downright dishonesty, your firm should be awarded the inkless fountain pen, to say nothing of the silk-lined tomato can. I am returning all your junk by freight. Yours without respect. Get that right out, let me see it, and type it in red ink.
Yes, sir.
The man strides out through the same door he entered. Tommy returns, still holding the order, folded in his hands. Pausing to admire Miss Wilson from behind, he notices he still holds the order. He glances around and finds a wastebasket to drop it in. Then he approaches Miss Wilson.
Oh, Tommy, did you dispose of that paper?
Oh, yes, I disposed of it. You know, Grace, every minute I was gone seemed like an hour.
You must wear your wristwatch over your heart.
Oh, no, no. Here.
He shows it on his wrist.
Time is measured by heart throbs, not by revolutions on a dial.
He stares off dreamily again, but sees Miss Wilson has returned to her work. About to say something else, he gives up and retreats. Turning back once more, he steps to a nearby sofa and sits down, defeated. Miss Wilson takes her freshly typed letter to the other desk as her boss, Dad, returns. He picks up the letter.
Oh, my letter, Miss Wilson.
He sits at the desk.
I tell you, when they read this, they'll know who they're dealing with. Wells and Hawks, 809 State Street, Chicago, Illinois. Gentlemen.
Confused, he glances at Miss Wilson, then continues reading.
Your shipment received, but owing to breakage, is not satisfactory. Am returning invoice of goods received. Would suggest in the future that more care in packing would ensure less loss en route. Yours, very truly. Is this what I dictated?
Well, practically.
His scowl softens into a smile.
Well, perhaps you're right.
Oh, your son is here.
He's here?
Yes.
He's home. Well, well, well. Well, there he is. Well.
He stands as Tommy walks across the office.
Why, I'm glad to see you. Glad to see you. I never saw you looking better. My necktie and my shirt. I thought you were home. Sit down, son, sit down. I've got so much to talk over with you. Glad to see you. Glad to see you.
They sit.
Why, it seems I'm just a week or so every now and then between your college courses. That's about the only chance I get. Well, son, well, what's on your mind?
Dad?
Yes?
I wanted to ask if...
No. I'll tell you right now, no. You cannot have that car tonight. For the past 3 nights, there hasn't been a drop of gasoline
in it. No, that isn't it, Dad. Do you think a fellow should get married young?
I have never heard anything like that in my life. Married young? Why, certainly not. My dear boy, every man, before he thinks of getting married, should wait. Wait until he cuts his wisdom tooth. Every man should wait and think it over very, very carefully.
But, Dad, you and Mother were only 21.
An entirely different affair. Your mother was a very wonderful woman. They don't make them like her anymore. My, it's been 6 years now, son, since she left us. It's been very, very lonesome. Don't you answer me back like that. What put this idea of marriage in your head?
Well, I've been thinking about...
Well, stop thinking about it. That's the whole trouble with marriage nowadays. Too much thought.
Well, you just said...
Don't tell me what I said. I know what I said. I'm doing the talking. Besides, you've got to finish your college course first.
Oh, but, Dad, I've met the most wonderful woman. Why, in the 3 weeks I've known her, I've discovered a new world.
3 weeks? That put your studying up there in that school?
Oh, I'm speaking seriously.
I see you are, son. I see you are. Well, who is she?
Miss Wilson.
Wilson. Very familiar name, Wilson. That's a good name, son. A good, strong name, full of character. You don't mean my secretary?
Yes, sir. She's a quintessence of beauty.
She's the what? Don't you talk like that about anybody. The of beauty. Oh, a beauty. Oh, Miss Wilson is. Yes, she's a very, very pretty girl.
She's magnanimous and fine.
She is and she's fine. She is. She is indeed.
She's pure as the driven snow.
Oh, certainly, boy, certainly.
And she's self-reliant, too.
She is self-reliant. Yes, sir, she is self-reliant.
They look at each other.
How long has she been with you?
Who, Miss Wilson? Let's see, 30 days has September, April, June, and November. 2 years.
Oh, then surely you must have noticed these qualities in her.
You would have thought so, wouldn't you? I don't understand it. I think possibly when a man gets to be my age, son, he's less observant of women than whippersnappers at your age. But now that you speak of it, she's a lovely, lovely woman, Miss Wilson, lovely woman.
Well, then I have your consent to marry her?
Have you hers?
No, sir.
Well, then you don't need mine.
Oh, this is no time for repartee.
It certainly isn't. It's a very serious affair.
Peering in the direction of Miss Wilson's desk and the office door where she stepped out, Dad stands.
You're altogether too young to be married, son. Besides, I want you to finish college, then I want you to take a trip. Take a long trip, as long as you like. Go to China. I don't care when you come home. Stay as long as you like and see everything before you come back and settle down in an office for the rest of your life. And besides, Miss Wilson is altogether too old for you. Don't answer me like that. She is so. Now, don't worry, son. Everything will be all right. Now, I'll give you a nice check in the morning.
Tommy stands eagerly.
For $5.
He wilts as his dad steps toward the other door. With concerned glances at Miss Wilson's area and at his son, Dad leaves.
$5.
Miss Wilson returns to the office and approaches Tommy as he leans against his dad's desk, brooding.
Why so sad, Tommy?
He straightens up.
The shades of night have fallen over my soul. All is dark in here.
With a hand on his chest, he sits.
Will you let me speak to you like a friend?
Friend? Hollow word. I who love you.
Let's be sensible, Tommy. You're 19 and I am...
Wonderful.
He stands.
That's a very pretty speech, but I'm much older than that. And besides, Tommy... You have your college course to finish.
Well, what's college compared to love and romance? I may be young, Grace, but I've seen life. I sing with a poet. One moment let my life blood stream. From boyhood's fount of flame. Give me one giddy, reeling dream of life, all love and fame.
Well, giddy dreams end in nightmares.
Oh, you're disconcertingly practical at times.
When he paces away to a window, she shakes her head and follows.
And if you really must know it, Tommy, my heart belongs to another.
Another?
Yes.
Oh, my cup is bitter.
He turns away with his head hung low, then turns back.
Who is he?
Well, I should prefer not to say.
Miss Wilson walks back to her desk, and Tommy follows her as she sits.
Well, I hope he's worthy of you.
I hope I am worthy of him.
What's he look like? Have you got a picture of him?
Yes, I have a picture of him right here in my desk.
He curiously looks around her desk and notices a small picture on it.
Does he love you in the exalted way that you deserve?
He's never spoken of his love.
Never spoken of his love? Oh, fate is unkind. Gee, I had hoped that the cruelties of life would pass you by.
Standing, she takes Tommy's hand.
Now we can be friends, can't we, Tommy?
Friends. Friends? Friends!
He turns away dramatically and taps a chair in frustration.
Well, perhaps you're right, Grace. Friendship is a sweet bond.
With a sympathetic look, she leaves.
I want to finish college, because after I finish college, maybe then we can be married.
He turns back and notices she's left.
Oh. Oh, but Dad!
Dad rushes out from the other door.
Oh, Miss Wilson!
He hurries to his son.
What's the matter with Miss Wilson? Is she ill?
No, sir.
Oh.
She's in love.
With you?
No, sir, with somebody else.
With whom?
I don't know.
Well, how do you know?
She told me.
What else did she tell you?
She said he had never spoken his love.
Never spoken of it?
Mm.
Never mentioned it? Not a word? Well, what's the matter with him? Must be a cripple. He's deaf and dumb and blind.
Well, there's his picture on her desk.
Dad peers at it.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
Picking it up, Dad examines it more closely with his glasses.
She told me that that was her brother.
She did?
I thought she was far too interested in her brother.
Good looking, isn't he?
Yes, yes, if you like that sort of a face. A receding chin, I knew it. See that chin? See how it goes back? That's a squint in the eye right there. That's a distinct squint, see? In both of them. Looks Russian to me.
Dad, about how old a man do you think he is?
Oh, he's a man about 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. I don't know. I'm no judge of men's ages.
Well, Dad, oh, blonde, wavy hair.
See? Blonde, wavy hair.
Well, do you think that blondes are more attractive to women than brunettes?
I wonder. They are not. Don't you ever get an idea like that in your head. Your mother told me that if I hadn't been a brunette, she... Well, I don't know.
He sets the picture back down.
Dad, listen. Do you think that women like...
I don't think anything about women. I don't know anything about them. Nobody knows anything about them, and I know less than anybody else. Will you get out of here? You've ruined my day completely. Ask Miss Wilson to come right in here. Right in here. Mm. Miss Wilson, right in here.
Tommy leaves through the main office door as Dad keeps looking at the picture. Tearing himself away, Dad steps to his desk and sits down.
Blue-eyed Russians. Blonde-haired. Long eyelashes, I suppose.
He peers at some papers as Miss Wilson returns.
I thought I told you to go...
He notices her.
Sit down, Miss Wilson.
With her notepad in hand, she complies and prepares to take dictation. Tommy carries an ottoman to them and sits down on it. Smiling shyly, Dad turns to Miss Wilson, but notices Tommy. Dad scowls and gestures for him to go. Picking up the ottoman, Tommy obeys. Dad makes sure his son is left before speaking.
Miss Wilson?
She gazes at him.
Take a letter.
She turns to her notepad.
Brown and Jones, Akron, Ohio. Sirs, kindly send 3 of your metal filing cabinets, number...
He checks a document.
692, at the price quoted in your letter of November 13th. Miss Wilson, are you fond of home life?
Why, yes, sir.
That's nice. The check for these filing cabinets will be forwarded upon delivery. Miss Wilson, are you fond of children?
Surely.
That's nice. My son was telling me that you... This is to Skinham and Skinham, attorneys, Washington, D.C. I'm enclosing herewith, for collection, a bill against a firm in your city. Miss Wilson,
Yes.
Do you sew?
Oh, yes, I'm very fond of fancy work.
That's nice. The itemized statement and the memoranda are enclosed herewith. The cold water drunkenness cure, Volstead, Kansas. Kind sirs, please stop sending me letters in regard to your cold water liquor cure. The constant receipt of these letters with your name emblazoned, that's a Z in emblazoned, on the envelope, caused every one of my employees to believe that I am a confirmed drunkard. Miss Wilson, you don't think that I'm a boozer.
Oh, on the contrary, I've always admired you.
That's nice.
Your temperance.
That's nice. This is a straight telegram. Freshwater College, Missouri. Kindly reserve room in dormitory for the return of my son, Thomas. Miss Wilson.
Yes?
You do think that he should return to college, don't you?
I certainly do. The quicker, the better.
That's nice. Miss Wilson, my son was telling me that you have an admirer.
Well, that's hardly accurate. I told him that I admired someone greatly.
Well, I'll be... I mean to say, I thought that he... You know, what I wanted to say was that I don't see how anyone could fail, could help but admire...
But just recently, it has seemed that perhaps he does care for me. Just a little.
He does?
Yes.
He does.
He grows concerned.
He does. That's nice. Miss Wilson, what I was leading up to was...
Yes.
Nervous. He glances at a clock.
Why, it's 5 o'clock.
He checks his pocket watch.
Is that all?
Well, practically. Good night, Miss Wilson.
Disappointed, she stands and goes back to her desk. Then she steps to the main office door. With an admiring look back, she leaves. With a similar look, Dad stands at her desk.
Nice girl. Oh, nice girl.
Noticing the small picture, he picks it up and peers at it again. He shakes his head.
Nice girl.
He opens a drawer in the desk to put it away, but sees something else inside. Setting down the small picture, he pulls out a larger picture from the desk, and it makes him giddy.
Nice girl.
He puts it back.
Miss Wilson. Miss Wilson? Miss Wilson.
Yes?
Miss Wilson, what is it?
Yes.
Sit down. Sit down, Miss Wilson. Sit right down.
Yes?
Take a letter. On the machine.
She rolls some paper into her typewriter as he happily waits to give his dictation.
Dear, sweet, kind young lady, I have been deaf and dumb and blind. Oh, I wish I could spout poetry as my son does in order to prove my devotion, but I can't. In other words, to be short, to be brief, and to the point, will you marry me?
Beaming, he bends down to watch her finish typing the letter. She pulls it out and hands it to him.
Yes, that's the letter. Isn't there any answer?
Well, who is it to?
Why, Miss Grace Wilson.
She stands.
In another moment, I should have proposed myself.
Oh, Grace.
They embrace, and he points at the small picture.
Who is he? Who is he? Right there, who is he?
Well, that's my brother. I've often spoken of him.
Of course you have. I told him it was your brother. I told him all the time. But he told me that you told him that you had a picture of the man you loved on your desk.
Oh, I said in my desk.
I told him it was in the desk. I told him. Son, come in, come in.
Tommy enters.
Miss Wilson. Miss Wilson has an announcement to make.
Oh, what is it?
I'm going to be married.
You are?
I am.
To me?
Oh, no.
To whom?
Ask that. He knows.
Dad holds Miss Wilson. And they kiss. The end. That was Ask Dad, maybe the only movie where Edward Everett Horton actually ends up getting the girl. Yay. I hope you enjoyed it, really do, and that you kind of get this description thing better if you came into this cold. Okay, next week, yes, it's weekly, next week on Movies for the Blind, we start a full-length movie from the 50s starring Johnny Cash as a guitar-slinging killer.
It was just luck that Johnny Cabot and I happened to be in Camellia Gardens at the same time.
Honey, I don't think you appreciate me.
I was here to prove a point, a theory of mine. One that I've had for a long time about small towns, small living.
Your mother's running things here, Bobby. If she says the woman's club is more important than her family, then that's the way it has to be.
Well, that's a fine thing to say.
The same thing every day?
That's our whole plan. Their daily routine, our split-second timing.
Obviously, you're selling guitars or guitar lessons or music.
You're absolutely right.
She turns from the kitchen sink to find Johnny pointing his gun at her.
What all can you give with 5 minutes to live?
That's 5 minutes to live on the next episode of Movies for the Blind. For more information and links on the movies, description, and how to subscribe, check out the blog. It's moviesfortheblind, it's all one word, .wordpress.com. That four in Movies for the Blind is F-O-R, by the way. It's moviesfortheblind.wordpress.com. Also, this movie and others were obtained from the Internet Archive, which is also the host for this podcast. So please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at www.archive.org. Thank you so much for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.